Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts.
Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for being a part of what we're doing, meeting lots of new listeners all the time, and we have all of you to thank for that. You guys are making this possible, but if you have a paranormal story of your very own that you'd like to share, please give me an email at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll get it dialed in and get you on the show as well. But I got a fantastic show lined up for you today, one I'm really excited to bring you. And we're going to be welcoming Ben from New York to the show, who's had a whole host of really cool spiritual experiences and seeing apparitions and stuff. So we're going to get into this. I hope you guys are ready, because we're going in. Ben, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. You know, you and I have bounced emails back and forth, and I really appreciate that we were able to get this all lined up so that we could have this discussion. But just in reading your emails, you've seen some pretty incredible things, brother.
Yeah, I've had quite a few. You know, some sound silly coming out of your mouth when you're thinking about it, but oddly enough, you know, they happen. Yeah. So it's like you kind of keep it to yourself, and I'm glad that you're giving us a platform to actually come out and speak about stuff like this.
Oh, yeah, and you know, it's really my pleasure. This is actually my favorite part of doing the shows is hearing from the people who are experiencing these things firsthand, because, I mean, then we can have a discussion, then we can talk about ideas and stuff. So I'm glad you're here, but I suppose the best place to start is, where did all this start for you? When, I mean, was there a certain age when you had, was it an early experience? Was it later in life? Set the stage for us, will you?
Oddly enough, I think it's people early in age, babies, children, are more sensitive. mm-hmm. to this type of stuff. So I definitely think that when I was younger, I had more experiences. But, you know, they're far and few now. But when they do happen, you know, it's crazy. I'm not a psychic by any means. I don't talk to dead people. Mm-hmm. I've had them speak to me, you know, but there's very little communication. You don't always see them. I guess it's whatever they can muster up. Yeah. The one thing that sticks out, you know, in my mind early on is I want to say I was nearly 10 to 12 years old. Mm-hmm. The house that we lived in on Long Island was actually haunted. It was haunted by a gentleman that lived in the house. He was one of my aunt's boyfriends. Mm-hmm. He lived in the house with us. Not when I was there. I wasn't born at the time. But he had passed away, I want to say when he was 20, 22 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm. He was visiting family in Jersey, and he had asthma attack, and he had passed away. But he lived in the house where my grandparents owned on Long Island. So I eventually moved into that house with my grandparents, and he was all over the place. You would hear him running around at night. I saw him once. I think everyone in the house has seen him. Mm-hmm. He didn't speak to anybody, but you would see the outline of a person walking up and down the attic stairs. Wow. That's how I saw him. I was, you know, alone in my house one day, and I was a kid out of the shower, and walking down the attic stairs was, you know, a blurred vision of a man. Wow. And he kind of looked, you know, he stopped, he looked at me, I looked at him, I was frozen. I didn't know what to do or say. Yeah. And he just saw that I was nervous, and he walked into the bathroom and disappeared. It was crazy.
That's cool.
I didn't know what to do.
Right.
Speaking with my grandmother about it, you know, she was aware of who it was. My grandmother wasn't a psychic either, but she had a lot more of that talent, is what we would just call it.
Sure.
And to us and our family, it kind of skips a generation. So my parents didn't have any of it. My grandmother had it in spades. My children, to my knowledge, don't have it. So it kind of skips, because my grandmother had 8 children altogether. Maybe 2 of them had that same ability, and then their kids maybe hit or miss 1 or 2.
Wow.
You know, but they don't talk. We don't talk about it. No one talks about it because it's weird.
Yeah.
No one really believes it. So that was pretty much the first thing. He did talk to my mother, this guy, which was weird. He was whispering to her as she was sleeping. That's what I think they do, because I've had that happen to me several times. They can't get you when you're awake because you're not prone to it. You're not looking for it.
Right.
But when you're asleep, your guard's down. Mm. So I've had times where people are talking to me. I didn't know when in my sleep, and that's what happened to my mother. She was sleeping. This guy was friends with my dad because we lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling us secrets about the things that him and my dad used to do together. And my mother woke up and started asking my father 50 questions, and he was taken back because, you know, he had no idea how she would know any of this.
Right.
And it was him. It was Robert. Funny part is he wasn't at rest until my grandmother actually got in touch with his brother and sister.
Oh.
And asked if Robert had a headstone on his grave. They said he didn't. You know, we said that we'd pay for it because he's obviously not at rest.
Right.
And as soon as the headstone went up, he was at peace. He disappeared. That was the end of it.
That's pretty crazy, huh?
It is nuts, right?
Yeah, because I understand that there must be a sense of closure to that, but just something so symbolic like that was so important to him, and maybe it's just because that way his name will be remembered. I don't know, but that's really powerful.
I'd be pissed off too if I had a brother and sister and no one cared enough to put a headstone on my grave. I'd probably hang around too. But it's funny, it's cliche. It's that movie stuff, unfinished business, you know, like you don't want to believe it because it sounds so far-fetched. But in actuality, I think people do have certain things that they need to get done.
Yes.
And if they don't get done, they can't rest, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Strange.
Yeah.
It's definitely, definitely strange.
Wow. So that's a pretty powerful experience from a young age, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's probably stuff that I can't even remember happening, you know, until the story that I told you. That one was pretty... That was pretty strong. That was pretty creepy.
Yeah, as well. Please share that one.
Well, this happened at that time. I was like 12 years old. I'm now an adult. I was 22 at mm-hmm. the time. I was living on Staten Island with this woman that I was engaged to.
Okay.
She had 2 small children, 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't in a good place at that time. My father had just passed away. I was very depressed. I was very focused on my depression.
Okay.
I wasn't happy. I wasn't really thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't being very open-minded to anything.
Sure.
So I was, you know, still a chef. I was still working in Manhattan. So I was getting ready for work one day. I'm doing my hair in the mirror, and a kid, little girl, was walking past the bathroom, kind of poked her head in the bathroom, and then walked into her daughter's room. So I called to my then fiance. I'm like, hey, did you just get up and come to the bathroom? Do you need something? And she said, no, I haven't moved. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
But all right. Let's say Angie. Is Angie home right now? No, Angie's in school. So,
wow.
You know, at that point I got goosebumps. I had no idea who this kid was.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I've dealt with things like this in the past, so I knew the feeling.
Right.
But, you know, wasn't really, I was focused on going to work, so I really didn't think too much. I was thinking about it, but not too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe like a day later, I'm going out to the bus to go to work again, and the gentleman that owned the apartment building was outside doing whatever he does, you know, checking up on his property, making sure everything was good. You know, and I asked him, I'm like, you know, who owned this place before? Who was here before we were here?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, place was boarded up for a while. You guys are pretty much the first tenants. I'm like, so what happened? And he's like, what do you mean? Nothing happened. It was just boarded up. I'm like, something happened in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to choose your words carefully. You want to get information from a guy.
Right.
You don't want to, like, spook him up. You know, so
yeah.
I can't ask him, hey, you know, who's the dead kid walking around the house? Number one, he's going to think I'm out of my mind.
Right.
And number two, the conversation is going to be over. But, you know, you asked the right questions, and, you know, he was honest with me about it. He said that the place was boarded up. There were homeless people that were breaking in and staying there for warmth. It just so happened I stayed in, you know, the house wasn't in a great part of Staten Island. It's in a place called Shaolin. Shaolin is a ghetto.
Okay.
Around the block from where we lived was a project house. So if you're from New York or you're from any urban area, you know what the projects are. They're a big grouping of buildings. You know, a lot of times there's, you know, drugs going on, gang violence going on.
Sure.
So apparently a kid that lived in that building was taken by a homeless guy. And she was, I don't know if I should say this next part or if I should try to
just
cuddle
yeah.
it up for the audience.
Just, yeah, gently.
they took the kid inside, and she met her end there. And it was in the bedroom where I saw her walking into. So after that, it kind of opened up my eyes that something happened here.
Right.
This kid wasn't at rest. So I reached out to my grandmother, who was alive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me what to do, which was, you know, go get some holy water from a church. Preferably Roman Catholic Church, because we're Roman Catholic, and, mm-hmm. you know, start repeating prayers as you're putting holy water in every corner in the apartment. You can't miss anything.
Right.
And you have to be repeating the Lord's Prayer each time, and hopefully that will be enough. Turned out, in this occasion, I think it was enough, because that was it.
Aww.
I didn't see the kid anymore, I didn't hear it anymore,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully, you know, the kid found some peace. But that was... It definitely stuck with me all these years that I still think about it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
That's a horrible, horrible thing, and especially when it's children. I mean, you know, there's something beautiful and sacred about children, obviously, and when they are so horribly mistreated, it's just such a scar on the face of all humanity.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. There's definitely, you know, to every good there's evil, unfortunately. And
sure. Wow.
Yeah, I don't even know how to comment on that. It's just awful. It's awful.
I'm
not sure how anyone could do that to a kid, but there are people that do it.
Yeah, there are. Now, you had mentioned that you got that feeling, and have you noticed that you get feelings, a specific kind of sensation when you're around something spiritual?
Yeah, you can feel another person, and you know that person is not supposed to be there. Like, you know, it's not
mm-hmm.
it's not a feeling that if I'm standing next to you. You know, it's an off feeling.
Right.
And sometimes you know the person, and you know their feeling, and you know that they're still around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So it's hard to explain, but it's definitely, for people that are sensitive, it makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, I think that probably all people have that kind of sensitivity, and then I've talked about it on the show many times, and then it comes up all the time. In stories of people having encounters or just in really weird situations. And it's the feeling of being watched. It seems mm-hmm. that people just have that innate sixth sense that we know when we're being observed. And it's like a very physical sensation that we perceive somehow. And I think maybe it's some kind of like evolutionary carryover from when, you know, we lived in the wilds and things were hunting us, and we just were able to pick up on the sensation of, oh, something is looking at me now. This is not good. And but we hear about that all the time. We know when we're being watched. And I think that that's kind of cool. I think it really there's got to be something to that.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you hit it right on the head with that. It is a feeling like you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
Indefinitely. But it's the same thing, because I think I just heard you talking about this with somebody, that you had a dream about you and your dad.
Yes.
And you knew it wasn't a dream. You knew that was your father.
Yeah.
You know, so you know whether it's your imagination
mm-hmm.
or if this is actually happening. And it's extremely scary when you're in the situation. But afterwards, and you're thinking about it, and you're bringing up those feelings again, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was for me. I mean, and it was an important time for me because my dad and I mean, we loved each other. There was no question, but we were both incredibly stubborn people. And so a lot of things had just gone unsaid. And then he passed, and I was so far away from him when he passed that I was just thinking, you know, there's no other opportunity now. That's done. And to meet with him during my sleep and in that dream, so incredibly real, so incredibly lucid, just even more real than, you know, me sitting here right now talking to you. It was just, the sensations were just magnified. So it was like, this is not a dream. And it smelled like him. It felt like him. And you know, the embrace that we were able to share and those words that we were able to exchange, it was so incredibly cathartic and healing. It was amazing.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I had, you know, the same type of relationship with my father, and it's strange. You know, you actually had a pretty good one. You should be very grateful that you were given that chance. Not everyone's that lucky.
Yeah, I hear you. And I wish everybody was, because, you know, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it was able to heal that old pain that was there and to move forward from it. But second of all, it's just nice to have that confirmation that they're okay. Because like you and I were talking just before the show, it's like, it's the big question. What's next? Is, you know, are they okay? These people we love, are they okay? Are they, you know, are they at peace? Are they happy?
Yeah.
And so to just have that meeting and to see how he was so warm and loving, and I knew that he was fine. So it was really, it served so many levels. It served to really make that an incredible experience.
Oh, no, that's excellent. Yeah.
It is.
That is excellent.
But I really wish everybody could have that, because, you know, I think that it would make the grieving process so much lighter and okay, you know, okay. Not that, you know, we ever want to say goodbye to people, but just to know that they're okay and that they're...
Yeah.
So...
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Thank you. All right, everybody, and we're back, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up. We're going in. You know, you've had these incredible experiences. Have you had any others?
Yes. Speaking of, you know, the whole father thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I was going through a really hard time when my father first passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He died suddenly of brain cancer, so there wasn't really much, you know, speaking. You know, it was just kind of one day he was good. The next day he had a stroke. You know, the stroke led to your brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Brain cancer led to, we give him a year to live. A year to live when, you know, he died within 2 months.
Oh,
so there was none of that. You know, there was none of that.
Right.
But I did have, I was wondering, I'm like, if I've had these experiences before, why hasn't my father come to me and said anything to me?
Right.
You know, try to lessen this because I'm having a hard time dealing with this. Because I was completely out of my mind.
Right.
I was nasty. I couldn't be spoken to. I was violent. It was a really horrible place to be mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having one specific dream. I was back, you know, I'm looking at the place where the last place we lived together was in Howard Beach, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk down the stairs from my room and I see him, my mother, and my sister on the couch. And I knew right away, I'm like, this is not happening. You know, he's dead.
Yeah.
We don't live here. This isn't, like, I had my full way of thinking about me. And my father had his arm around my sister and he turns around, he looks at me. He's like, I'm not staying, but you need to relax. And then that was it. That was the end of the dream.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, you know, upsetting and a little, I wish I had what you had.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had a little bit more of a conversation with him, but, you know, something is better than nothing, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's still a visit, I guess, you know, and that's pretty powerful either way.
Yeah. Because, you know, you'd like to think that, God forbid, something ever happens to you and your kids need you. You'll find a way to get back to them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I see it, at least.
Yep, very good point, yeah. And you know, I hope, it's hard to think about that, but yeah, if that,
yeah,
when
that's
that time
the
comes.
Of it, though, you know, you deal with so much death, you know, you kind of have to think that way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid something does happen to me, you know.
Sure.
I would move, you know, buildings if I had to get to my kid needed me, I'd move buildings to get to them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of stories out there like that of people having these incredible experiences. And some of them aren't, you know, maybe as incredible, but they're just that confirmation, that moment. Even sometimes it's a glimpse. I mean, we've covered stories on the show where in one case, and this is from a listener, they were leaving a hospital. Someone they loved had passed away, and it was a really hard time. But outside of the hospital, sitting on the bench, was a dead ringer for their grandfather, who they were very close to, who had passed away. And even to the point where the...
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, yeah. And even to the point where when the person looked with their jaw wide open, the person sitting on the bench that looked just like the grandfather, doppelganger and everything, looked up and winked at them. You know, so it's like, well, that's got to be a message. That's got to be the real thing, you know? So
yeah, it's got to be a sign, man, because if there's no signs, if there's truly nothing after this, then what the hell are we doing?
Right, yeah.
You know, like, everything is for naught.
Right.
You know, and that's really disappointing. Like, I'd rather prefer to keep my faith and be called crazy or an idiot.
Because
I'd rather have faith in what I'm doing than just be gone one day and that's it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's that whole higher meaning, that whole higher purpose. Because otherwise, this human condition is really frustrating and maddening. Because, you know, obviously, there's times when it doesn't seem like people are making much progress at all. And, you know, at least if we know that there's a higher reason for it, or believe there's a higher reason, than it, you know, it can take a few more on the chin then, you know?
Mm. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You got to fight for something, no?
Right, exactly. So what else has happened then?
One other thing that really sticks out, again, living on Long Island, like I said, you know, when you're asleep, you're kind of more open to stuff, and that's when people have a tendency to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
They can be just passerbys. Like, you don't have to live in a haunted house. Like, if you're just open to stuff, you're open to it. You
know? Right.
That's it. You're either in, your taxicab light is on or it's off. And a lot of people have theirs off because they don't either believe,
mm-hmm.
they don't have that type of faith, or it's just nonsense to them.
Right.
I've never been, you know, the type of person to say it's nonsense. It's something that I need to feel and think of myself that I can communicate with all these people that I've lost, and I still talk to dead friends, my parents, my grandparents. I talk to them all on a daily basis, hoping for something.
Aww.
You know, any type of sign, any type of anything. Because, you know, you miss them, and that's what you need to do to get going. But if you, it's either you're open or you're not open. And I feel like I'm a very open person because my grandmother taught me to be very open when it came to stuff like that.
Sure.
And it might have been a passerby, but I remember, you know, it wasn't even that long ago. I want to say maybe 6 years ago. I was in a house in Long Island that I owned at the time, and I was sleeping, and this woman kept on yelling her name into my ear. Like, I felt her on top of me. I knew she was right next to me. I can feel the heat from her body next to my head.
Wow.
And she just kept on repeating her name over and over and over again. And so I just, like, got up kind of half dazed and just went, kind of went, all right, shut up, I'm sleeping. You got to stop. And then it kind of stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But she, I can't remember her name now, but she must have said it at least 10 times.
Wow.
And as soon as I did get myself together, you know, I called my sister. I said, please write this name down. Remember this name. You know, try to see if you can find this person. And I'll do the same. Unfortunately, it was kind of a cold road. I couldn't find anything. Maybe she died suddenly. Maybe something happened to her.
Sure.
Well, maybe, you know, who knows what her story was, because, you know, I couldn't get any information on it.
Mm-hmm.
I figured with the internet, I'd be able to get something. Unfortunately, I didn't. But, you know, it's just like it had to have been something. If she was going to bother me like that, if she could know that I can hear her and she was going to basically harass me,
yeah,
into waking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then there must have been something I can do for her. And it really does sound silly saying it out loud, but...
No, I believe wholeheartedly in what you're saying.
You know, I felt like if there was something I can do, then it was my place to do it. But,
yeah.
You know, incidentally, there was nothing I could possibly do for the woman. I tried. That's all you can really do, I guess.
Sure.
Nothing is ever going to be open and shut.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, I think you're right. I think there's definitely that whole unfinished business angle of things that, you know, we have these experiences and maybe they are for those reasons that we can help finish that business for them or help them to make the transition after that's all, you know, taken care of. But, I mean, it's not always, I mean, there's a lot of information out there, but there's also, it can be confusing and hard to find anything relevant too. I know.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I don't know when this woman died. She could have died 100 years ago. Like, I knew nothing about the woman.
Right.
Yeah. All I knew was, at that moment, I just knew her name because she kept shouting it at me.
That's,
you know, so that was really, you know, about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been, she could have been from New York. She could have been from God knows where, you know, could have been died in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just don't know. Have you ever, like, just walked into a place and you just know, like, there's people here.
Yes.
There are people still here for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that type of feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally agree, and I've experienced that many times. And I don't know. You know, you got to wonder, why did they stick around? But, again, could be any number of reasons, or, you know, whether it's the unfinished business, or if it's, you know, they knew they weren't living a good life, and the prospect of being judged and persecuted for maybe a wasted life is more intimidating than just staying in a closet, you know? So it's hard to understand for sure why they stick around, but it is a conundrum of sorts. And there's any number of reasons why presences could be there. But I agree wholeheartedly that there are some that just wander. They don't seem tied to a place or anything. They just wander.
I think that should be it, you know, like they should want to wander, I guess, in a way. Like,
yeah.
Hopefully it's between the two worlds, if there is such a thing.
Sure.
But they're not just, I hope that they're not just stuck here.
Right.
You know, like if they're waiting for some sort of help.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are way too selfish now to even be that open-minded, you know, to go out of their way and help somebody that they never knew. So I pray that they're not stuck.
Yeah.
Because that would just be, that'd be awful.
I'm with you there.
That's nothing.
It's especially when it comes to the children, like, you know, you had talked about the child before. I mean, I can't think of anything more disturbing than the fact that there's some little child who met an incredibly unfortunate end and then is left to wander and try to, you know, make sense out of that. That to me just seems so contrary to anything good and just and right. But you know, I guess
you do hear a lot about that, though.
I know, but
you do hear a lot about there being kids.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because, you know, maybe 100 years ago, kids died easier, you know, when they got sick, you know,
sure.
There's an inoculation to things.
Right.
But I've heard a lot of stuff from people, and it's usually like a little girl in a white dress.
Yeah.
Type fictionality to it.
Yeah. And I'm not laughing because that's funny, but I'm just thinking, you know, how many of those stories then turn into, and then it was a lizard creature and there were scratches and there was an exorcism. You know, I mean, I think that sometimes dark spirits choose that kind of form because it opens us up. You know, when we see a child, we're like, oh, I want to help you. And you just put down all your defenses because you see a child. And I think anybody that's wired normally psychologically is going to be that way. Like, we don't want to see children suffer. And so if there are these dark things, and I believe there are, that seem to need to, you know, get to us in order to survive or to feed off of us or whatever, or to corrupt us, the quickest way to get there is to appear like a child, because automatically our shields are down and we're just trying to embrace this poor little soul. And then, you know, and then comes the scratches and the screaming and the exorcisms, you know.
I agree.
So.
That probably would be the best way to get into it.
Yeah,
I agree, though.
Yeah, and that's creepy.
I can see that.
Yeah, but I think there's a whole lot going on around us at all times. And I think if we suddenly had the ability to see perfectly, we would see that there's just like a crowds and, you know, people coming and going and in and out all the time. I think that that's not uncommon at all. I think we live in a very spiritual realm. It's just we're not open to it like we maybe should be or could be.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that.
It's a crazy world.
Some people need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people need it. Some people don't. You know, other people are happy with their realities. Other people need a little something more.
Mm-hmm. I know I do.
It's like it's the whole religion thing. It's there can't be this many religions and just one of them be right. It's physically, it's impossible.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they're all right and they're maybe all missing the mark in some way or shape. And I don't pretend to know which is which. But,
oh, yeah, of course.
And maybe they're all right. You know, like maybe they're all perfectly right. It's just, you know, I've often thought about religion. I'm like trying to understand the whole dynamic of it. And I consider myself a very spiritual person and very, very aligned with that. But I think religion is kind of like gates to a garden, you know, like there's this beautiful garden and we all run around this fence of the garden trying to find our way in. But there's signs over each gate, and we have to find the one we can read, and then we can get in the garden. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. I think the important thing at the end of the day is, and a lot of people obviously who believe in, you know, what we believe in,
mm-hmm.
That it's only important to have faith and just respect and just follow it.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's right, nothing's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know, and we're not going to know.
Right.
At least not now, anyway.
Yeah, I agree, brother. I agree. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. Do you have any others?
I do, you know, in case anybody needs to hear something that'll give you a little bit of hope
mm-hmm.
in this world. Like I said, when I lived in Long Island, I was still around the age of 12 and 13. I remember, you know, I was just about to receive my confirmation. I was very close to my grandfather on my father's side. That's mm-hmm. The people's house that we lived in with the ghosts and whatnot. And he was very excited. He was very Catholic. You know, we're very Catholic. And he was super excited that I was going to receive my confirmation. And we were making all these plans. And he actually died a week before. He had a heart attack suddenly and passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he had 8 kids. He would do a lot of silly things with those 8 kids. One of the silly things that he used to do is he used to leave a penny heads up in their houses every time he would visit. So if they weren't home, he was still walking in. He didn't care. So just leave a penny on the counter, heads up, so you knew that he was there. Everybody, all the kids knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had passed away mm-hmm. a week before. It was the night of my confirmation. And all this is going to be built to, you know, my father passing, so excuse the long story.
Oh, no worries.
It was the night before. the night of, excuse me. We didn't want to party. We didn't want to really go out and eat. Like, we went out to eat, but we were all so depressed, you know, that he had just died that no one really, we weren't trying to have a good time.
Right.
So I remember we went home. My grandmother was in the living room watching TV. I was upstairs in my room. And I'm laying in my bed, and I'm just, trying to fall asleep, not think about him, just trying to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, my door opened, my door closed, my chair wheeled its way from my desk and adjusted itself to facing my bed. I freaked out, and I ran down the stairs, and I told my grandmother what happened, and she was like, don't worry about it, just, lay here with me, and, you'll fall asleep soon enough. And my father came, brought me back up to my room, and he said the entire room reeked of my grandfather's cologne. And he made it. I need to believe that he made it there that night.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to be there. He wanted to be there, and he made it. He was there with me that whole day, whether I saw him or not. And at the end of it, he decided to scam me, but, it shows me now that he was there.
Yeah.
And we all knew it. My father smelled his cologne, his dad's cologne. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, I'm sure, knew because, she believed what I told her. And years later, talking about my father passing away, I had gone home. We had unplugged him, He wasn't waking up. The doctor said it's time to make a decision. So he didn't want to be a vegetable.
Right.
We pulled the plug. We all had our time. I said my goodbyes to him. I saw him, he cried for the last time.
Mm.
But I left. I had a very young son at the time. My other son is 16 now, so he was 8 months at the time. I took him home,
mm-hmm.
and I got a call, the next day saying that he had passed away, and my uncle, who's not my blood uncle, he's my my aunt's husband,
okay.
who knew him since he was 17 years old, stayed with my father until they wheeled him out of the room. Mm. And when they wheeled him out of the room, what was underneath his bed?
A penny.
Can you guess?
A penny face up?
A penny heads up. So if that doesn't tell you that he didn't come and get his son and that everything was going to be okay, I don't know what does.
Oh, that's beautiful. I got chills.
It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of that, yeah. 100% factual.
Oh, yeah.
100% factual. And it's nuts. And it's those little things, those little gifts that we get that should keep us going.
And it
gets cracked.
I think that kind of stuff probably happens so often. And we just don't, I think we always expect these grand gestures and stuff, but I think it's those subtle things that we often overlook that show that they're there, and I think smells, as you mentioned before, smells are a big part of that. When you talked about the smelling the cologne. And I think that's very real, that maybe spirits use that as a simple way to show like I'm here. And I catch smells in my house all the time that remind me of loved ones that have passed. And I really do think that's how they say, look, I'm stopping by, checking in on you. And it's just a little subtle, non-threatening kind of gesture to say that I'm here. And I think it's really powerful. So that penny heads up. There might be a million people that would say, well, just by chance, whatever. But
yeah. It's
the significance of that symbol that makes it so powerful and makes it so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy when you think about it. The day actually my father's funeral, we went out, I don't know if you guys do the same thing, Catholics, after the mass, he was cremated. So after we cremated him, we all met up at an Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking in and my father smoked a very particular brand of cigarette.
Okay.
A very particular brand. And it's very noticeable. And as we're walking in, I look at the ashtray outside the restaurant, and his cigarette is there burning. It was crazy.
I believe
it's
you.
It's nuts. That's the little things. Like, it's nuts.
Wow.
Crazy stuff.
That's amazing.
Little things. I know you need to see something, You just got to look out for it.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the key. That's the takeaway is that, we get in our tunnel visions, and we don't see much of anything. But I think these signs are always around us. It's just that we have to open up our minds and our awareness to take them in. Because it's like as our lives have progressed and as technology progresses, it seems like the tunnel is narrowing all the time. What we can focus on or what we do focus on, and I think that those signs are probably given to us all the time, and we just pass them by without really taking notice.
You're right. Life is a lot sometimes. It's hard.
Yeah,
it is. Gets tricky. It gets nasty. Mm-hmm. You know? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think it's very, very powerful. Very powerful stuff. And I think they are around us. I really do. I know that differing people have differing opinions of that. But I think that love survives no matter what. And so does that bond. And so does that commitment to each other. And just because somebody has passed doesn't mean that they're not in your life anymore. You just got to figure out how to see them now. Because I think they're still there.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, at least I'm thinking a lot about it. I don't know, you know, right or wrong or otherwise. I like that idea that, you know, there's so much more that we have yet to explore and understand. And I do think that they bring us symbols and reminders all the time. But I think scents are pretty much probably the most common, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but just in my opinion.
No, I think you're right. Because a lot of people come with the same thing. Like, I've never... My wife is very into this type of stuff, so I've discussed openly with her, you know, my thoughts and everything that's ever happened. And she's into it, so she doesn't judge. She's a believer herself.
Sure.
But there are other people. And, you know, their main argument is, and, you know, they're right in a way, but they're not. It's, if, you know, ghosts really do exist, why wouldn't they have been on the news? You know, if aliens exist, wouldn't they have been on the news already? Wouldn't the public know about this type of stuff? And I think... probably not, because they don't want to cause mass panic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, are ghosts going to make somebody money? You know?
Right.
I think that's what really drives people.
Yeah.
So you can look at things how you want to look at it, but, you know, I choose to believe. I know you do the same.
Mm-hmm. I do. And I think that, you know, if you think of the lasting nature of ghosts, I mean, there's been ghost stories since there's been people coming together. I mean, you know, in the ancient times, there's ghost stories, and those still persist to this day, and people still have experiences to this day. But I don't know if there's a reluctance by anyone to you know, prove or to disprove it. I mean, well, I think that most people don't probably give it much thought, to be honest with you. I think they're just in their little tunnel visions, and you had said it before kind of perfectly. You talked about people like the world that like it is. You know, they like the three dimensions and the floor walls and ceiling, and they like things just so. And so when something shakes that paradigm, people get really uncomfortable. But there are a lot of shows out there, obviously, that are trying to bring proof or validity to the subject, and I think that they do to some degree. I think they're also pretty fantastically edited in a lot of cases as well. But we had just gone to a place called Coloma in Montana just recently. Mm. And we were, you know, doing a session using a thing called the portal, and it's a phonetic generator. And we got some intelligent responses, which, you know, when you think of the mathematics of it, would have just been astronomical odds against getting any kind of intelligent response due to just these sounds that are randomly generated. But in between that, we went to this, you know, this abandoned hunting cabin up in the mountain, and there's, you know, nobody around. The place is just in, you know, a state of dilapidation. And there was this bowl that was up on top of the oil barrel furnace that they had kind of put together. And it was, that oil barrel furnace was all rusted out, and it was, you know, obviously never going to be used together, but there was a plastic bowl on top with some water in it. And we were sitting there talking about this bowl because we had visited during the day, and we were trying to remember, was that here before, or is that not, you know, why is it here now? And we were talking about it. And just then, in one of the recorders that we had going, a whispering voice comes through, and it says, "Forget about the bowl."
Get out of here.
Swear to God. True story.
I'd love to hear that. That's crazy.
The sound file, we played it on last Wednesday's show on our YouTube channel. And I'll have to put it together in one of the podcasts as well once we get all of the evidence lined up in a way that I can present it. Obviously, with the podcast, it's audio only, so the EVP would be a great thing to discuss and bring to the podcast. But it was just this whispery voice, and for a long time, we couldn't figure out
what is it saying for sure? It was like, welcome to the fold or something. And then I was like, once I realized the context of what we were doing, it was very intelligently interacting with us. Like, forget about the bowl. Or
it's our bedroom. Forget about it.
Exactly. So
it's my ghost bedroom. Don't talk about it on video.
That's my ectoplasm. That's get out of here. Exactly. But it was such a profound thing that happened, and it was once we, especially when we realized what it was saying, I just got chills because it is such a profound thing to be looking for this kind of activity. And when you find it, it's like catching lightning in a bottle. It's just like, oh my God, you know, we got it. We had an interaction here, and it was however brief, the fact that we had an intelligent response, you know, in that one moment of recording was just so powerful to me.
That stuff is rare, man. People think like you say silly things, like, you know, like I've been saying, and people think that you're like, oh, you think you're a psychic. You can talk to ghosts all the time. It is far and few that it happens. Anyone that's open to it, it is very far and few.
Yes.
And if you're able to catch something with proof,
mm-hmm.
that is amazing, because it's all word of mouth.
Right.
It's all word of mouth. You know, it's amazing that you, like, if you're actually able to catch something and have evidence of something that you're talking about.
Right.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's completely nuts.
That's
why we were talking about it earlier. It's like, how seriously can you take some of these shows?
Sure.
You know, that are on TV. A lot of them are really, really good, because I watch them all with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are really good.
Yeah.
But it's the ones that go about, like, the history of it. I'm not talking about, like, the three ex-bouncers that walk around and whisper to each other with a camera. You know, because that's obviously, that's made for money.
Sure.
You know, and that kind of gives, you know, the things we talk about,
mm-hmm.
it gives it a joke of a meaning.
Sure.
But there are other ones. And, like, you know, you're talking about now doing, like, real stuff.
Yes.
And it was, I can't remember the name of the show, nor would I say it on your show, but it's, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. If there's something old, you're going to catch some feedback. And people are like, oh, it's residual
mm-hmm.
from like hundreds of years ago. I'm not really sure about that whole thing, that things kind of store up energy.
Sure.
I don't know about that. But I do know, because I worked at a restaurant, and I'll give them a shout out on this so they can make a couple of dollars, because the chef's a real nice guy, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Purdy's Farmer and the Fish, and it's in Westchester. And it's in Westchester, but it's a farm.
Okay.
Everything was farm to table. But the restaurant is a house. And this house is extremely old. And I tell you, going through, like, their storage spaces, all their offices were up in, like, the attic spaces and stuff. There were people walking around up there.
Wow.
And I think it's because the house was so old, there's so much culture. Everyone's like, oh, don't you know how much culture? This house is 200-year-old. And I'm like, yeah, I know, because there's still people from 200 years ago walking around the house. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
Crazy.
It is really cool and bizarre. And, you know, that whole, the whole idea of those ghostly footsteps, I think can be so intimidating. You know, it's gotta be like a psychological thing that they do on purpose just to get a rise out of people. And maybe it's because they're bored. Maybe, you know, maybe being a disembodied spirit is just like, hey, watch this, you know, and they get together in groups and just try to get rises out of people. because, I mean, it's so creepy. You hear these stories. I was lying in my bed and suddenly I heard steps coming up the stairs, footsteps, and then they went down the hall towards my room, and then it came to my room door, and then suddenly they stopped. And I'm like, oh my God, what a mind screw is that, you know?
Oh, it is. It definitely is. And a lot of my friends, when I was younger, I would tell them, listen, you're going to spend the night. I had bunk beds in my room. I'm like, you're going to spend the night here. I'm letting you know there's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear him. Don't be scared. He's not nasty. He used to live here. He's a nice guy. And they were like, I'm not going to hear nothing. There's no ghost that lives in your house. And I'd wake up in the morning and they'd be in my bed with me. And I'd be like, why are you in my bed? And they'd be like, you didn't hear that? I'm like, hear what? The running up and down all night long. You didn't hear the running in the attic. You didn't hear the staircase. I'm like, I'm used to it. I live here. But it's like, well, of course, they got to do something with their time, right?
Right. And it must just get a charge out of them, like, pff. And, you know, maybe it's to prove a point. You know, I think that there is something to be said for the acknowledgement. And I think it kind of makes sense. If you were this, you know, suddenly you didn't have a body and you were in a place, for whatever reason you're there, and people would come and go all the time, but nobody would ever acknowledge you. And maybe that's
maybe that really is one of the ways that they just get some kind of validation. Like, I am here. I am real, you know, and
yeah, I still matter. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Matter
to
somebody. Yeah. And absolutely.
I think that that could be some of it, because it's gotta be just absolutely crazy to be ignored all the time. And, that's just the way that they make sure they're not going to get ignored. But I really want to thank you for coming on the show, Ben. This has been really cool. I really like talking to you because,
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me again.
I love
it. A pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for bringing all of your experiences to the show and to our listeners. Please, you know, if anything else comes up, please let me know. You know, we'll get you back on to talk about anything new that happens. I know you still have some more things to discuss, but we're about out of time. But if you decide that you want to come back, I'd love to have you again, brother. It's been a fantastic discussion.
That was my pleasure. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I hope they enjoyed hearing, you know, what I have to say.
Well, I know I did, and I can't imagine they wouldn't as well. But and please give your family our best, and thanks for being a listener. That's amazing.
It's very kind of you. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, take care, brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too. Okay, ciao.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.